that have mostly been in business for about, I would say, 5 to 10 years. And it's a combination of business owners, real estate investors, and full-time employees. I want to touch on the full-time employee part real quick too, is I have clients who, as known, W-2 employees. They work for a company and they get a paycheck and they have like a 401k, like a retirement plan at work. But, you know, there's problems with it, you know, such as market risk, the fees associated with it, and then also the liquidity part when you want to use that money. So they decide to do these bank on yourself type whole life policies in connection, in integration with their retirement plan. So that way they have their own plan that they own and they can control. They can control the liquidity part of it. It's not at market risk. They can add more to the policy if they needed to. And they kind of have this on the side. So it could definitely work for, you know, business owners, real estate investors, and full-time employees as their own source of retirement income.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today on the show, the special guest is Sari Ibrahim. And Sari is the CEO and president of Financial Asset Protection. He is a financial planner and member of the Bank on Yourself organization. Sari helps real estate investors, business owners, and full-time employees grow safe and predictable wealth regardless of market conditions on a tax-favored basis. Welcome to the show, Sari.
Hi, Annie. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's always interesting to meet people from all over the world. And you have certainly have a unique product that you are promoting. But just tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, and how did you end up in the financial planning industry?
Yeah, definitely. So it started when I was doing my master's degree in business about 5 years ago. And I was looking for a job. I got a job at Allstate Insurance in their risk mitigation department. And I was working with like a lot of policies for like auto insurance, homeowners, condo renters, like things like that. And then I merged over to, I left Allstate and then I went to become a Medicare consultant. I worked in the healthcare field and I was helping people who were like 64, 65 years old, retire, leave their Medicare plans. They're from their employer plans and then get on their own Medicare plans. That was my job for a couple of years and I would help them make that transition. And I started to build a relationship with these clients. And then one of my clients at that time asked me if I could help him with life insurance. And he even said something about having cash value. And I wasn't entirely sure. I had my life insurance license at the time. And I remember some of the questions on the exam said some things about cash value, but I had really no idea what he was referring to. But since we had a good relationship, I told him I would do more research for him and I'd get back to him. And then I went to Amazon and I started searching for books about life insurance. And I just typed in life insurance. And then one book that came up was called The Bank on Yourself Revolution by Pamela Yellen. And this book pretty much talks about the bank on yourself concept and the utilization of dividend paying whole life insurance for your living benefits while you're still alive. And what that means is that whole life insurance has two parts to it. It has one part as the life insurance part, and the other part as the cash value part. It's almost like a savings account within the policy. And this is based off of the bank on yourself concept. It's also similar to the infinite banking concept. And it pretty much helps people build predictable wealth over time, regardless of market conditions. And people use this for whatever they want. And that's what pretty much, and I've been on about, you know, a numerous amount of podcasts talking about this concept because I want a lot of people to know what this concept is.
Okay. So it sounds like it's something that we used to do like years ago. I'm sure my father did something like that in that we didn't usually save our money in savings account, but they had a life policy that they put in and they could cash it out. So are we going back to a concept that was around a long time ago?
Yeah. And actually during the Great Depression, the few families that made it through the Great Depression were the ones who had cash value whole life insurance, because the whole life insurance companies at that time didn't lose money like everyone else did, like the banks did, like the lenders did. It's the cash value life insurance. It's almost like a buffer between the economy and people, where even if the stock market or the economy takes a hit, the cash value and life insurance policies don't. And it's because of the way that insurance companies are regulated and what they're allowed to invest in and what they can't invest in. So for the most part, we only deal with mutual insurance companies that have been around for over 160 years, and they've been paying dividends to policy owners regardless of market conditions, even during the Great Depression and even through the 2008 crash and even through right now with the uncertainties of the pandemic. They've still been paying the dividends. And that's how the cash value in the policy grows over time. It grows from compound interest and from dividends from the insurance company. And we show clients how to do this, how they could build this predictable wealth and not have to worry about, you know, guessing what's going to happen in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. So you're educating people that saving via a life insurance policy is the way to go to protect yourself going forward. So what exactly is a bank on yourself policy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're not talking about all whole life insurance across the, you know, for in the US. It's specific types of whole life insurance. Like number one, it has to be from a mutual insurance company and not a stock-owned insurance company. Mutual insurance companies give their dividends and profits back to the policy owners, whereas stock-owned insurance companies give their dividends and profits back to the shareholders. So it has to be from a mutual insurance company. And then number two is really important. There's something called direct recognition loan versus non-direct recognition loan. And what that means is, let's say you have a whole life policy, you've built up the cash over time. Let's say you have $100,000 in cash value in the policy. And then let's say you need to use like $30,000 in cash value, and you go to the policy and to use that money, what you're doing is you're borrowing from the insurance company's general funds, leveraging your $100,000 cash value. So you're not subtracting from the principal. And when you do it that way, when you borrow against your money, you keep earning compound interest on your money. So when you do it that way, if it's non-direct recognition, the insurance company won't recognize the fact that you have an outstanding loan, one paying you compound interest and dividends on your money. If it's direct recognition, when you do take out that money, they will minimize or take away from the dividends and compound interest in your money because of the outstanding loan. So it has to be non-direct recognition for that to happen. And then the third piece is, I don't want to get too technical, but there's something called a paid-up additions rider in the policy. This is a part of the policy that turbocharges the cash value. And not all insurance companies offer this rider. So it has to be mutually owned, non-direct recognition, and has to have the paid-up additions rider. These three things are what make up the bank on yourself policy. It's utilizing whole life insurance with these three components so that you can have the turbocharged super growth cash value and that you can keep using it for whatever you want. Because we also don't want our clients to feel like it's either or, you know, it's either I put money in whole life insurance or I put it into real estate investing or I put it in the stock market. Rather, it's a both and approach where they can fund the whole life policy, build it up over time, use that to finance their investments. So that way they can kind of have the best of both worlds where they have the safe, predictable growth and they can take advantage of higher risk investments. And I think that, you know, people always say the higher the risk, the higher the reward, the lower the risk, the lower the reward. But being strategic, especially financially, you know, in financial sense, being strategic is increasing the gains and minimizing the risk. So increasing the reward and minimizing the risk. And that's what you could do utilizing the bank on yourself concept.
Right. It's like the way you're promoting the product. It's not just a cushion or something for peace of mind to weather unexpected circumstances like medical emergencies, but I suppose you could use it for that reason. You're actually promoting it to real estate and business owners. So how does it help them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always ask business owners, you know, okay, you've built up the business, you're profitable now, you have positive cash flow, meaning you're earning more every month than you're spending. And that's the best part about owning a business. It takes a long time to get there. But now what? Now what do you do with that money, the extra money that you're earning every month? Do you let it sit in a bank account and earn no interest on it? Or do you reinvest it all in your business and stay at risk for hopes of higher rewards? What do you do with that money? And one of the options is kind of, so the struggle is, do I let money sit in the bank account and not earn any interest, or do I keep reinvesting it and put it at risk? But this kind of is in the middle where you can have the money sit somewhere that earns compound interest. And when you need to use it, you can go to the policy and borrow from it and become your own source of financing. Hence the name bank on yourself. And it, there's a lot of different ways it could be used. It could be individually owned. So that means, for example, somebody would own a business and then every sale they have or every month, they would take a percentage out of the sales or out of the profits and put that into the policy, which is smart because you want to be able to have your money live somewhere. You want it to give it a job and live somewhere. You don't want it to just be mingled with all your expenses and income and everything else like a lot of business owners do, because that way you just never know what's happening with your money. Even when there's an increase or uptick in your revenue, you still kind of lose track of your money because it's mingled with other things. So you want to be able to pinch it, grab it, and put it somewhere. And then you could do it this way where it's individually owned outside of your business. Also, you could have it owned by the business. So it sits on the balance sheet as an asset of the business. And it's the cash reserves for the business. And then when you go to sell your business or you want to borrow against your business, it has a positive cash flow in there that you could use to measure the value of the business. So that means if the business is worth $1 million and there's $1 million in cash value whole life insurance that's owned by the business, essentially you could sell the business for $2 million. So it's a way for you to constantly increase the value of your business while having an internal line of credit. You never have to rely on banks anymore. Once you build it up to that point, you never have to rely on banks. You don't have to rely on what they say you could do with your money. You know, Mark Twain said that a banker is a fellow who will lend you an umbrella on a sunny day, but wants it back the second it starts raining. Meaning that banks only give people money who have money already or have assets. But the second that people actually need that money because they don't have the assets or the cash or cash, then they won't give them the loans anymore.
Right. I suppose you must have had a bit to do with business owners that haven't had a good run or have had trouble with the banks, but I haven't heard that concept before, that a business can own these policies in their own, in the business name. So that's something new. So have you mainly been dealing with business owners? Are they older business owners? Are they new business owners? Where do you find, what sort of clients have you been helping?
Yeah, so they're mostly been in business for about, I would say, 5 to 10 years. And it's a combination of business owners, real estate investors, and full-time employees. I want to touch on the full-time employee part real quick too, is I have clients who, as known as W-2 employees, they work for a company and they get a paycheck and they have like a 401k, like a retirement plan at work. But, you know, there's problems with it, you know, such as market risk, the fees associated with it, and then also the liquidity part when you want to use that money. So they decide to do these bank on yourself type whole life policies in connection, in integration with their retirement plan. So that way they have their own plan that they own and they can control. They can control the liquidity part of it. It's not at market risk. They can add more to the policy if they needed to. And they kind of have this on the side. So it could definitely work for, you know, business owners, real estate investors, and full-time employees as their own source of retirement income.
Well, that's interesting too. I haven't heard it said before that they can use it for retirement savings.
Yeah, absolutely. I've helped clients set up policies where, for example, they'll put in like $1,000 a month for 20 years. And then after 20 years are over, now the policy is going to pay them, you know, three times that, $3,000 a month on a tax-favored basis. It's actually gross tax deferred that whole time. And then when they take the money out, in this situation, it's tax-free because they've used after-tax dollars to fund the policy. And under current tax law, life insurance policies grow tax-deferred. And if it's structured properly, the money will come out with a multiple tax-free, even if there are gains in the policy. And this is a huge advantage of the infinite banking concept and the bank on yourself concept, is the tax parts of this. Now, this doesn't work all the time. I'm not saying that all whole life insurance is tax-favored. Sometimes there's something known as a modified endowment contract. That's when the policy becomes taxable when you take the money out of it. So we try to, about 90% of the time, we try to avoid that situation because we want the clients to reap the tax benefits. But sometimes we intentionally do a modified endowment contract. For example, I have a client, he used just a single premium $400,000 case. That means he just moved $400,000 from his bank to the whole life insurance company. Bought a single premium whole life policy. It's like buying a house cash. He just bought the whole policy. And doing that, he was essentially buying a modified endowment contract that the gains in the policy are taxable when he takes out the gains out of the policy. So he was aware of that. His accountant was aware of that. But it was the financial benefits of the policy were still worth it. So we tend to stay on the tax-free side. And yeah, absolutely, we can fund the policy for 20 years. And then after 20 years, churn off contributions and now churn on income. So it sits as like a pension or like a retirement account, the same exact way, but with the tax benefits, of course, and still the life insurance. So if something happens to the client, you know, early on in retirement, their families are set because of the large death benefit that has been growing that entire time.
It's interesting that people are considering this option as opposed to traditional options where they go to a financial planner and they're put into some sort of fund and they don't see their money for a long time. I suppose they're just relying on the experience of the financial planners that they're dealing with, that their money is being put into good funds.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the traditional way of financial planning, and that is mostly stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. I just think that there's better options out there, and such as, you know, because the problems with that, with the problems with traditional financial planning are, number one, the fees. The fees are really high. Even though they're like 1% to 2% every year, they tend to compound over time, and that could eat into the gains of the client. And then number two, the tax parts of it. A lot of times they're either post-tax vehicles or pre-tax vehicles. And most people have actually pre-tax vehicles where they're every year they're deferring from the taxes, putting it into, you know, a 401k, an IRA, a 403b, other retirement plans in the United States, and then they don't have to pay taxes on it for 30 years later. But I strongly believe, and a lot of financial professionals would concur, that taxes in the United States are going to go up dramatically over the next, I'd say, 10 or 20 years because of the interest on national debt, because of the Social Security budget, because of the Medicare and Medicaid budgets. These are all increasing exponentially. And to add on top of all of this, COVID-19 and the pandemic, also the government had to use a lot of funds and print a lot of money to give through economic injury disaster relief loans, paycheck protection loans, unemployment, all these. The government had to print a lot of money to keep the economy going during the pandemic, and they're going to want that money back plus interest. So the way to do that for the government is to increase tax rates. And the low-hanging fruit for the government are pre-tax vehicles, like the 401ks, IRAs, 403bs. The government set those up and quote-unquote calls them qualified is because they want people to take advantage of those. So that way, when times get rough for the government, they could increase tax rates. And those are the first places they get taxed. Yeah. It's the low-hanging fruit. It's sitting in an account that the clients can't touch and the government can increase tax rates. So again, back to the opposite of traditional financial planning, this strategy would mitigate against that. One could convert over from the, for example, the 25% tax bracket to the 0% tax bracket, utilizing this concept. And that way, if the government does increase tax rates, they've created a hedge against that risk, because we don't know when it's going to happen, but it will happen. And this is definitely a hedge against that.
Okay. You also said that your investors are using it also for investing in real estate. So can you explain that concept?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so it's, they're using it a couple of ways. One way is in connection with loans that they already have. So for example, a real estate investor who builds up a policy has $100,000 in cash value. They see a property that's $1 million and they want to put down 20% on that. They could use $100,000 from their policy, and then they could use another $100,000. If it's two partners, they could split those costs for the down payment and then pretty much through syndication. So that they're pretty much combining it in connection with another investment or another loan. And this year, when they do it this way, they have, especially if they're buying like a rental income property, that if they buy it for $1 million and it's going to generate like $15,000 a month in rental income, they could use that rental income to pay down the loan. This way, after paying down the loan from the life insurance company, they'll have the life insurance policy still with an increase in value because it's non-direct recognition. It was growing that entire time. Plus, they have the property paid up almost, or a huge portion of it paid up. And they have the rental income with the positive cash flow and the appreciation, the natural appreciation that has been climbing throughout the years. So they kind of have all these things climbing at the same time with their money. That's one way. Another way could be just to buy, if for example, the same situation, the real estate investor had $100,000 in cash, they might buy a whole property for $100,000 in cash from their policy, essentially becoming their own mortgage, where they're financing from their own selves. They can take their time paying back their loan. They can control the payback period on that. And then while they're paying back the loan, their policy is increasing the value as if they've never touched it. So after paying off the entire loan, again, they have the house paid up with the appreciation. They have the policy loan paid up, and their policy had been growing that entire time. So pretty much for real estate investors, they could use this, you know, at the same time with the same dollars over and over again, recycling. And this is exactly what large banks and large corporations do, is they have billions of dollars in whole life insurance, and then they earn compound interest on that money. And then when they need to use the money, they borrow against it at lower interest rates. When they do it that way, they never interrupt the growth of their money. It's like saying if you had this special savings account that was earning you 5% compound interest every year, and then you wanted to use that money because you have to, you have expenses, you need to use that money, and you go to use $1,000 out of that account, you're not just taking out $1,000. You're actually taking out more because you're going to interrupt the growth of that account for the future years. So when you borrow against it at a lower interest rate, you have a spread between it. For example, you're earning at 5% when you need to use that money. Instead of deducting from that balance, you borrow against it at like 2% interest. And now there's a spread of 3%. So you keep making money on this cash earning account. And then you could use it also for real estate and for other things. Exactly what banks do and large corporations do.
Right. So before we finish up, Sari, would you like to just elaborate on other uses or benefits of the bank of yourself policy?
Oh, yeah. So we talked about the tax benefits. We talked about there really are no contribution limits. You can add as much as you can get approved from the insurance company. Also, in a lot of states in the United States, it's protected. The cash value is protected from creditors and bankruptcy. So it's a nice way to kind of store money. It's not public records either, the amount of cash value you have in life insurance. So that's a huge thing for a lot of real estate investors and business owners. Like over 90% of the time get sued because they are exposed to a lot of risk and people know that they have a lot of money. So if you can put your money somewhere that can grow tax deferred, not be affected by the stock market, and can be protected from creditors and predators and bankruptcy, then you know that could help you out a lot. And this is, and I'm not an attorney, so consult with an attorney before doing this. But in a lot of states, you can check the statutes and see if cash value whole life insurance is protected in that way.
Mm. Thank you very much. It's been fascinating hearing about this concept, bank on yourself, from you, and you're obviously very excited about it. So if anyone wanted to find out more about it, do you ever have any international clients, or is this a concept that you just use in America?
Yeah, I've had clients from the UK reach out to me and from Canada. If somebody from Australia or other places wants to reach out, they can. They can go to finassetprotection.com, F-I-N, assetprotection.com. There's a link. You can schedule a free appointment. We can jump on Zoom over the phone or any other method. And then, yeah, we could always, it's possible to do this internationally. It's not guaranteed, but there are, you know, I'm always open to a free consultation to see if we can. And of course, if you're in the States, it works in all 50 states. If in Canada, it works. But yeah, reach out and we can see what we could do. All the consultations are free. And you can go to finassetprotection.com for that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for being part of the Retire While Retire Happy show, and all the best for you and your product.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.